What up, what up, what up, what up? This is Black
Life. Man, that was the hottest white girl with the biggest ass I've ever seen in my life. Like, seriously. I'm sorry to start the show that way. How are you doing, BC?
I'm fine, and you?
I just shocked you there, hey?
You did.
You were so quiet. You were like... But this is what we spoke about before. You were telling me how much you love Iggy Azalea and how you think she's so hot and blah, blah.
Yeah, no.
And now you're suddenly like quiet. Like,
no,
because
you started the show on like a black man.
It was a
like,
little
yo,
bit.
Yo, what up, what up?
Like, it was a little bit American, like, and we're not like, even hip-hop or American. But I can't help myself. It's like it's too much Channel O stuff, you know?
Yeah, no. Speaking of which,
MTV
it's the
base.
Channel O Awards tomorrow night.
That's right. That's what's happening tomorrow night. Are you going to be there?
I will be there.
I didn't crack the nod this time around.
So you can come as my plus one, Shane.
That's okay. I'm going to a wedding.
Oh, okay.
It's too late now.
Hey, how many weddings are you going to, buddy? Every week is somebody, yeah?
You know, I'm like a wedding mascot. I'm like one of those people when if you want good luck in your marriage, you
John
invite
Legend,
me to your wedding.
John Legend.
I didn't go to John Legend. My wife was sick, so I had to give my tickets away. What are you laughing at? Like, that's what married people do.
Oh, so you didn't
sacrifice.
You didn't think of giving them to us. Eh? So now we get uninvited for suppers, Peteni.
No, hang on a
he
second.
He doesn't invite us for suppers anymore to his house, right? And then the next thing he does now, he gives away.
You're the last
John
person
Legend.
I was going to give away the last my last John Legend
so
tickets to because
love.
You are the publisher, editor, printer
love
of Black
here.
Magazine. If you didn't get a ticket, then there's something wrong.
Love lives here.
No, there's something wrong.
Ish, I didn't crack Kai FM, man.
You didn't crack Kai FM?
No, I didn't.
Our other black people are not loving you.
No, thank you. Black on black violence.
Black violence upon you, father. Black shining a current.
Yeah, no. To make sure we've got guests.
I was kind of interested.
Can like you behave just for once?
Okay, yeah, we do have guests. We've got a very serious young man here, Victor Chauke. If you've ever been on my Instagram, like in your life, just one time, you would see a picture. I always put up Victor's inspiring words. How are you doing, Victor?
I'm great. And you, Tamisha?
You always make me look good because people think that I'm that guy who's like, who's just so thoughtful and just like meditates in the morning and comes up with this stuff. But it's actually your stuff, isn't
yeah, that's
it?
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
How do you come up with these interesting, inspirational quotes every day? I mean, that's work, dude.
Yeah, it's so deep, but you know what? But it's about getting time, you know? Like, you have to pull out yourself in a space where you get in a zone. And I think about the people, like, you know, what are they going to get in, you know, when they wake up in the morning?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like a mother preparing a food. You know, when you're in high school,
yeah.
You just wake up in the morning and the food is there, you know? But you don't know the work that goes in there.
Okay.
So I just wake up in the morning, like...
You wake up early, though, because I get those, like, at 6:30 in the morning, sometimes 5:00.
5:00, I'm up every day. No?
What are you doing at 5?
Yep.
King Walla, I'm from Limpopo, ne?
Yeah, most definitely. Oh, that's where I get. That's where I'm from, man.
There you
I
go. Limpopo people are up early in the morning doing something.
Flying.
Running around the house. Yeah, okay. So that's when you prepare the inspirational stuff.
Yeah, mostly. But on Saturday, I get like about 5 hours against the time aside, you know, and then just to prepare for that week, you know, depending on the mood and what I'm feeling. And then, I set it up and I design it and then make sure that every morning I just choose what is best for the day, you know, based on how I'm feeling. So, yeah, that's what I do.
Okay.
Right.
But you are not just someone who does inspirational messages. You're also a corporate individual. You work for a big corporation, one of the big four banks, as they say. You work for Nedbank, right?
That's right.
What do you do there?
I'm a project manager there on the workspace planning. So whenever you see Nedbank looking great, that's the thought behind me. I do the designing, I do the layout. That's what I do, you know. So there's a creativity part of me that is there. You know, I studied interior design. So it's something that I did. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well,
can,
there you
can
go.
Can you go design to Misha's house? Because it's looking like...
I was going to say something else. If you just give me a second, okay? But anyway, you haven't even been to my house. I haven't invited you. How do you know?
I know.
This is why you don't get invited for dinner.
Right,
because
right,
you talk
right,
smack
right.
all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because anyway. I haven't been to your house. You stay next door to Tonito. Huh?
Yeah, well, maybe you're going to Tonito's place.
No,
and then
no,
that's
actually,
how you got into the estate, right?
In fact, Victor, let me tell you how I got to go to his house. Mm-hmm. His wife had kicked him out of the house. Okay. And she needed a sounding board, you know?
That's not true.
So
you went to pick up
talk
your car.
Smack? You want to talk smack? So
okay,
when I got
all,
there, she's like, you know, I don't ever want to see... Let me
oh
keep going. I'll save it for that rainy day when he pisses
I don't know why I keep you
off.
As a friend. I don't know why I keep you as a friend because you didn't even save the situation. You didn't even save the situation. You've done nothing for me, Wanabisi. Did you help me get back in the house?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
You see, WhatsApp will, you know,
you just
forget WhatsApp. Just do WeChat. done. Okay. Anyway, let's then get they back won't
to,
find you.
Let's
you
get
know?
Back to inspiration. Are we not inspiring people? Can you write an inspiration for one of us?
Most definitely. Got a lot of energy. That's a lot of inspiration.
Doesn't it remind you of one of those, like, you know, every black person has got an uncle.
You are that uncle. You are
at a wedding. And he's like falling over. He bumps the cake. You are that uncle. Why are you being that uncle right now, man?
Super M is rocking me right now. Okay. That energy is coming out nice.
We also have a young man by the name of Pateni Kuzwayo in the studio.
A.K.A. Pet.
AKA
What's
Pet.
Up, Mesh?
What's up, man?
No BC.
Look, you turned your life around, Pet. You know, when I first got to know you, you were about 20, 30 Ks heavier.
You were than you,
just than him, okay? And now you are this guy who you're a teetotaler now. You run Comrades Marathon.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been, what, 2007?
Yeah,
2006 when I met you.
Yeah.
And we'd hit the streets like there's no tomorrow.
Hey, we party together. We still party together.
We still do.
You're just the designated driver now.
Yeah, I'm the designated driver every time we go around. But yeah, it's been an interesting ride over the past couple of 6-7 years. Started running almost as just a hobby.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're running Comrades.
Yeah.
So I've got 3 Comrades marathons under my belt.
Nice one.
A couple of marathons, a couple of ultra marathons, and I'm enjoying it, you know.
Pets, I've got a question, buddy.
Talk to me, ABC.
Why haven't you taken your brother Tumisho there?
Because, Tumisho!
I mean, the reason why I ask is because Tumisho...
you know...
Can I finish my question?
Okay, no, let's give him...
Okay, sorry, Helen Zilla. Finish, Helen Zilla.
Go ahead,
okay, sorry. EFF.
Go Helen.
I'm all ears, BC. Yeah,
like, I see how you've lost weight.
Give us back! The money.
We want our money back.
The money.
Take away the mic.
No. Say what you're gonna say.
Switch off his mic.
Say what you're gonna say.
Switch off Tumisho's mic so that I can ask my question in peace.
I'm not gonna do that.
You know, but switch it off.
Yeah, Mesh. You know, Mosura, I'll speak well of you, so he can go ahead and you know.
Drunk uncle here at the wedding. Say what you're gonna say. You kicked over the buffet table. Okay, what are you gonna say?
That's Super M. I'm starting to wonder what's in that Super M.
Yeah, no. I think you put a ruler in the Super M.
Victor takes my Super M away.
I
want to see what is inside there.
Okay, no, Moravi, tell them about our running days. You know what I'm saying? Like our gym and running days and the things that we do.
Let's give him a chance. What is the question, BC? You know, I'm sure you've been meaning to ask that question for a while.
No, I mean, I'm just
the one time Mesh ran up, I think it was William Nicol Road.
It was Maine. Remember when you ran up Maine, when you used
was
to run
running
in,
from his wife?
No.
Something.
He was very well behaved in those days. But for some reason, he just thought it is hot today. And I was running ahead, and there was Thabo on the day was running in between me and Mesh. And so I look back for a second, and then Mesh is topless, boss. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know. Am I seeing right?
There was a lot of traffic that day.
Topless. I was like,
so there's a lot of things happening, eh?
In the middle of winter. And you know that gets to the wife before we even get back home. But look, Mesh has got a few half marathons under his belt. So, he's done the two oceans.
They don't count in the house. Eh? Marathons in the house don't count. Eh?
No, boss. I mean, a half marathon is no child's play. So Matt has got a few of those under his belt. But I don't know, VC, what was your question?
Let's go back to your question.
Yeah, but for the record, Mesh has got a half marathon.
He has got I have that.
An official one, not where well me done, and him well just, done, you know, Rick, well two oceans, 21 kilometers, Mesh is done.
My day is made. Can I just say, I can go home. I can go home in peace today.
Why don't you go home? Why don't you go home and watch somebody else making bottles? Because you can't even make a bottle. Okay.
I'll give you some Super M, buddy.
Thanks.
Can I ask my question now?
Go ahead, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Go ahead.
You know, I mean, you've lost weight. You've shed a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And, okay, let me behave, because Tumisho is slowly sinking into his chair here.
I'm just watching this guy do his thing. Go ahead.
Okay, Pets. Do you have a running club that you or group of guys that you run with?
I run for Deep Kloof Athletics Club.
Okay.
I do a lot of
Soweto,
my...
eh?
Soweto, yeah.
Okay.
At DK, where everything is okay, they say. But yeah, that's my running club. But I do a lot of my training during the week, during the day. So, I mean, that's kind of awkward for a lot of people that are at work. But weekend runs, we have a lot of group runs on a Saturday or on a Sunday morning. And at any given point in time, we've got, 20 to about 50 people that participate, you know. Deep Kloof has also got an annual event, which happens in October. So that's the running club I'm part of. I have been with Deep Kloof Athletics Club for about 3 years now, yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though, that's really interesting, and people need to hear about this, but you also are training people on the internet how to run, and not only just run for, you know, obviously it's for fun, but how to be marathon runners and get to a level that you're at and being able to run the comrades. Tell us a bit about that. How does that work? How do you get somebody, how do you train somebody via the net?
Look, I mean, social media, as we all know, is something massive. It's free. Mm. You know, we share. And in the process, you know, people get to ask you all sorts of questions.
Right.
Hey, man, how can I do a 5 kilometer? How can I run a marathon? And so over the past couple of years, I've put together content, which I now have placed under the website called runforwealth.com. And basically what we do there is we have a payline that says, run a fulfilling life race. And part of that is just giving training programs from running a 5 kilometer to running a 10 kilometer, a half marathon, ultras. And that's free content that people can download on the website, go through that. We launched it this year in September.
Okay.
So it's fairly new. We're looking to add a lot of video content.
Okay.
Because anyone can download anything. But the reality is that someone needs to see something that's actually practical. So we're going to be doing a lot of videos that people can download and go through. So, yeah, that's how we do it. People log on. They download whatever content that they need. And then every week I publish an article on nutrition, on running. So that's the plan. We've launched and we're going full steam ahead.
Okay, now here's the thing that I wanted to find out from you, Pet. Mm. How do you actually help someone who's not there as a coach and make sure that they can go from someone who has pain when they run or is very, very unfit, can hardly walk 2 kilometers, to someone who's running a 21K or 42K? How does your training actually work on
the very first thing you'll find on the website when you log on and actually get access to the training material is how to get off the couch. So how to walk is the very first thing. So I've often said to people, you know, people want to run a comrades in a year. And I've said you've got the entire life to do that. Start by walking. Once you started walking, start by walking and running. Then do a 2 kilometer and a 5 kilometer. And in those programs, I specifically say take your time. You know, there really isn't a rush. Yeah. And enjoy it. I think the best thing that I've found over the past couple of years is that I've enjoyed it. And in the process, it's become a part of my life as opposed to saying, you know what, I actually need to run a comrades in a year. You speak to a lot of people who want to lose 15 Ks in a month. And then what after that month? Rather enjoy it over a year and in the process lose a 15 K. So we specifically say to people, start slow, make it a part of your life. Before you know it, you're doing 5 Ks. Before you know it, you've registered for a 10 kilometer. Before you know it, you're doing a half marathon, you know. So it's not something that you specifically set out to do within a particular time frame. And that's the best way that I give advice. Say, look, just take your time. Make it a part of your life and it will grow on you. And before you know it, you're doing much more than you did when you started out.
Mm. Mm. A lot of people don't realize that the toughest thing about running the comrades is actually the training. You pretty much train for 6 months every year to make sure that you can do a decent comrade. Tell us about...
Minimum is 6 months, but I mean, it's between 6 and 10. To be comfortable and to run comfortably, you need to be training for about 10 months. So we're already into training as we talk now.
10 months to be comfortable.
Yeah, so I mean, comrades takes place either at the end of May or June. So we'll run that and then we'll take a break in July, August. 1st of September, we at it again. Training right up until December. And then take it easy during December. A lot of people put in the hard miles in December as well. And then into the new year, we're just building on what we built. So it is 10 months. That's the time frame that I think is comfortable for anyone to run the comrades comfortably. So it is quite long. The easiest part of comrades is the actual race day. The training, the discipline over those many months is the toughest part. And I agree with you 100% that, you know, race day is much easier than the training that you've got to maintain over many, many months.
And basically, when we talk about now you're going to the new year, this December people are going to be out having fun, enjoying December, boss. How many Ks a day do you have to run just to stay on top of things?
Look, I mean, it's December. I would usually taper a bit and take it easy, but taking it easy for me is quite hectic for other people. So, I mean, I'll be doing minimum 10 Ks a day.
Yeah, minimum 10 Ks a day. Yeah, how many days a week?
Let's say 5. So I'd cover 50 kilometers in a week.
Yeah.
Wow. Or do 15. And then we'll probably do like a marathon in the December period of about anything, 42 Ks, I would say. But if you're taking it easy, you can do a 25 kilometer. Now, during December, that's obviously quite hectic.
Yeah. And a week.
Hey?
25 Ks a week.
No. A 25 kilometer run. So what you'll do is you'll do 50 Ks in a week over the December period, and then you'll try squeeze in like a long run, and a long run is anything from about 25 Ks onwards. So yeah, that's how we kind of stay fit during December, and then we're back into it from January. I think the very first marathon that takes place in January is in the second week of January, and if you haven't been training in December, there's no way
you're
going to suffer.
Okay, here's the thing, right? Where can people find your training modules on the net?
It's www.runforwealth.com.
All right, cool. Back to you, my friend, Victor.
Yes,
Dr. Victor.
Now, how did you manage to decide that this was a part of something that you wanted to be? I mean, you're a trained interior decorator and designer,
right,
and you work in the corporate field, and somehow your other journey has been, you've been on radio, you are producing television shows and that sort of thing. Have you always had that creative side of you?
The creative side of me, in fact, I discovered this when I was young, you know, being a black, you know.
A black man, right?
Being a black man, you know.
Not just a black.
You're from the village.
Hey, right? You got mine. Black what? You were the black?
Yeah. From the village. Which village are you from? Yeah,
Phalaborwa. That's where I'm from.
Phalaborwa.
Yeah.
All right. That's
my hometown.
That's like on the east of Limpopo.
The East Limpopo. You just knock the door and then you are Mozambique. That's where we are. Far away. Right, 600 man. Kilometers from here. That's
dang. It.
That's way, way, way far.
Okay.
Yeah, so growing up there, you know, like...
Hot.
Very hot, eh? I remember about 1993, we experienced about 45 degrees Celsius. You know, you need to have a skill to survive there.
Wow, man.
Only the strongest and the fittest live there and survive.
Only the ones with the most melanin survive that.
Yeah, you know what? Natural, I'm light, you know, in... But it's about the sun. You just burn me out, you know.
Phalaborwa took your complexion. So you're growing up in Phalaborwa, which is like, quite frankly, I mean, growing up, especially in the 90s, it was out there. Nothing was really happening.
Yeah.
But you had this vision in your head.
Yeah, I had this vision, you know, from primary school, you know, like I didn't have the opportunities and the privileges, you know, to get the resources and materials. But I remember vividly when I was young, you know, go to the library, could not borrow the book out. And then the first thing that came said, you know what, my friend, if they want to get something, they steal. You know, I go to the library, I steal books. You know,
wow.
And I get in a space where I have to read books, and I go to my peers and I ask them, you know what, I want to be your teacher. You know, I want you to be my student. You know, I want to tell you something that I read. You know, so that's what I was doing all the time. And from then going
sharing,
sharing. You know,
it's caring.
Sharing is caring, you know. Then my mother used to sell, you know, the fruits. We have a lot of fruits in the Pompo Phalaborwa right now.
Yeah, I know, like avocado.
Avocados. Yes.
Mango. Yeah.
Matumani.
Matumani.
You know,
banana.
Yeah, so everything is there, you know. So, but I had to reward, you know, to have the group of the student under my umbrella, you know. I have to reward them. But the only way to do, my mother could not give me that. I have to steal again. You know, so in order for that to extract the information, I had to do a lot of stealing and everything. But the thought behind that, when I pick out that my drive, it was not stealing. My drive, it was sharing the information. Mm-hmm. It's about teaching. Mm-hmm. It's about inspiring. It's about empowering other people.
So you were stealing to share information.
That's right. You know, because there was no way that I could get it out. You know,
That's actually quite an interesting concept because, like, you know, we know the legend of Robin Hood, and he stole from the rich to give to the poor, but he stole money, he stole goods, he stole what was available. available. Yeah. And knowledge is wealth. Information in this day and age, the truly rich people are the ones who have the most information.
Right.
So basically, you were being a regular Palabora Robin Hood.
Most definitely, I was, you know.
All right.
So I carried that, you know, from primary to high school, where I had to engage more with my peers around, you know. If anytime I get something new that inspiring, I think like, this is uplifting, you know. Even I never experienced that, but I had to share it out with other people, you know. And so that was my lifestyle. That's where the inspiration came in, you know. I grew up in a background where it was a Christianity background, you know, and I used to teach, you know, at church. And I get a wealth of information and knowledge, you know. And so it was so very great for me to be on that space. And then I discovered and I realized, you know what, I have a talent. I have a gift of getting the information, sucking the information and sharing with people.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
And now you are sharing information on social media.
Right.
How do you think social media can impact South Africa and really change the landscape of people? Because a lot of people, I think, are out there not knowing how to get work, not knowing how to create prosperity for themselves, not even knowing how to inspire themselves to just keep going on a day-to-day basis. How do you think we can use social media to make things better for everybody?
You know, it's a mindset first that we have to get it right. You know, social media, it's nothing but a tool. You know, when you get to understand that you have a tool, you have a power on your hands, the question is, do you know how to operate it? Do you know how to use it very right, you know? So if we can engage it and we said, you know what, let's create a platform that will change people's life, you know, in a social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter and everything, and giving out the positive information, sharing out the information,
yeah,
you'll see that you'll reach so many people in that sphere. So the problem is that we have that the tools here, but we use it for the wrong concept. You know, we share the information that it's not helpful. You know, I have to look at me and ask myself, how can I impact this man? You know, he's doing, you know, radio, TV, you know, everything, but how can I empower this person, you know? And then with that, I get information, a little bit of information here and then put it all together to empower somebody else, you know?
All right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know what? Let's take a break and go to some music. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about running, inspiration, and general black life. I want to talk about Steve Hofmeyr, guys. Let's make it fun and interesting.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah. Let's do that.
All right.
All right.
Man, that so bad it look good. Man, that so fat it look nice. Man, that so bad it look good. Man, that so fat it look nice. So I made a shake it like. So I made a shake it like dice. So I made a shake it like. So I made a shake it like dice. Racks on the floor, she up and down the pole. Got a bubble, but watch that go. Now make that candy land.
Make that candy land.
Nigga, I'm hot. Money make it come, that's why I'm gone once.
Yo,
now, make that candy land. Now, make that candy land.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about right now.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
I want all the nasty ratchet. Get on the knees, make that ass shake.
Yeah, like them strippers. Bad. She like high tip, dance on my zipper.
Fat.
Way small. Super head.
Yeah.
Face off, nigga, I'm straight like that.
Like
I buy my business.
Yeah.
Forget up on my lap and let me get a business.
Yeah.
Make that shake. To my face. Man, that so bad it look good. Man, that so fat it look nice.
So nice.
Man, that so bad it look good. Man, that so fat it look nice. So I made a shake it like. So I made a shake it like dice. So I made a shake it like. So I made a shake it like dice. Blue dot pop, big booty knocking. All of my dicks softer than cotton. G's in my pocket, more up in my wallet. As long as she want it, nigga, I got it. Yeah, shout out to the rack house, where we rack out. They out. Nigga, I'm too turned up. Fall back and watch me throw it up, cuz. Man, that so bad it look good. Man, that so fat it look
nice.
Man, that so bad it look good. Man, that so fat it look
nice.
So I made a shake it like. So I made a shake it like dice. So I made a shake it like. So I made a shake it like dice. Racks on the floor, she up and down the pole. Got a bubble butt, watch that go. Now make that candy land. Nigga, I'm high.
She dance.
Money make it come. That's why I'm gone once.
Yo,
now, make that candy land. Now,
Yeah, that's Dice by Deleuze, and we're back. This is Black Life in the studio. We got some very serious cats talking about inspiration and running. Yeah. Pat, you ran your first marathon, your first comrade in 2011, eh?
In 2011.
Sure. So you've been doing this for some time now.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's been 7 years. First 2 years were just, you know, I want to lose weight, man. When you wake up one day and you realize,
how these jeans fit.
Is that me? And then you decide, all right, let me just hit the road, you know?
Yeah.
And before you know it, like I say, it becomes a part of you.
Mm.
And even on the website, the entire program is built around five key factors. I mentioned earlier on that our pay phrase is run a fulfilling life. And our five key missions are, one, to run, obviously, which includes training, cross-training. The second element is eat well. The third one is connect. The fourth one is lead. And then enjoy life. And the most important thing about those key factors is that a lot of people look at running and they just think it's a one-dimensional type of activity.
Running.
You know, people tell you, man, every day on the street, why are you on the road all the time? But little do they know that it's such an inclusive sport. You know, it's not the biggest. I mean, when you look at soccer, your rugby, your cricket, those are massive.
Would that be in terms of, they're massive in terms of having supporters and
supporters,
but there are more runners who are active
than there are soccer players, yeah. You know, because running, you can buy a pair of tackies tomorrow and get on the road and run and walk, you know. So we've kind of built it, the platform that is, to include everyone and say, guys, this can actually be for anyone that wants to get out there, an all-inclusive activity that you can partake in.
But, you know, does running actually rub off? Because, you know, I know you've been friends with Tumisho for a while, you know. But
I've been friends with you for a while. You never ran one kilometer.
I've got the results to show that.
You have no results.
Huh?
You have no, you know, you are like a trust fund baby.
Yeah, with a six pack.
In their castle,
with a
laughing at the guy who is a middle class person who works for their life.
Yeah.
You are just a skinny guy.
With
a
six
pack. Grown into your body and you don't look as skinny and hungry as you used to when we first met. Remember how I used to feed you all the time and make you sandwiches? And now this is how you bite the hand that feeds you, Monobis.
But then, as I was saying, you know, this thing should obviously rub off. You know? Yeah, I mean, after 6-7 years, you know, one, two oceans. And Nakona, you know,
one,
the whole
two oceans,
knows that, you know.
I don't think Mesh doesn't brag much. I'm sure he's done a Soweto.
He's gone to visit in Soweto. He's done that.
You know what? Now, let me say it like this. My young boy is standing here in Kijima.
I think we must just record your clip, you know, where you say, Dumisha, try to run.
Yeah.
In winter, his top was off.
Didn't you and I have a thing that we were going to run the two oceans next year?
Yeah. Vilmarie thought it was swimming, by the way. I just have to put that blonde moment in there, wherever she is.
Okay.
But, you know.
So, Vic, hang on. Why are you running away? Are we not doing the two oceans or not?
Vic.
Are you down? Are we doing the two oceans?
Do you run? Do you do any sport?
I don't do any sport, but I just jog. You know, 1 kilometer is fine for me.
Yeah.
1 kilometer.
Explain this.
How many
times
a week?
He doesn't run, he just jogs 1 kilometer.
Three times a week.
1 kilometer?
That's enough, yeah. If I'm stressed up, you know, I need to sweat it out all, you know.
Can you sweat in 1 kilometer?
That's the best I can.
That's the thing, though. You probably think it's one. And if you probably, you know, measure it, he'll find that he does 5K.
Maybe he means he runs for 1 hour.
We used to fly in. So, you know,
So, so you don't do any form of exercise. So you just do motivational talking, but no motivational exercise.
You got two kids, right?
Only one.
Yeah. And that keeps you quite busy. You're running around chasing.
Wait, Dumisho, how did you get to two kids?
No, there's that one that I told him about, so nobody knows about. So there's a formal and an informal.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I do meditation. So, you know, it also helps a lot. You know, I would suggest that, you know, the people that run also, it's good for the mind to meditate, to connect with yourself. You know?
Look,
I mean, it really uplifts. So I think that for one of your components in the diet part or everything, you have to add meditation.
Yeah, look, I mean, I agree with you totally. There's a lot of parallels between long distance running in particular and just leadership or self motivation. There's no ways you can run Comrades or a marathon for that matter, or even a half marathon to me, so without discipline, without some sort of I want to actually do this.
Hence
I said one of our components is lead. You know, okay. Under lead, we've got a program called the Marathon Based Leadership Program, which you can also find on the website. And these are workshops that we're planning to do in 2015.
Okay.
And it speaks to the parallels that you'll find between long distance running or comrades, as it were, and just life in general.
Can you give us some of those, man? Maybe a top five that you've learned over the years from running comrades marathons that have helped you with life, because life really is a marathon, isn't it?
Life is a marathon, and a lot of people are trying to sprint. A lot of people see a guy who's slightly overweight and say, "Aye, man, how can that guy be running quicker than I am?" I know, get low on my teeth. And we do that in life. You see people doing their own thing. You don't know half their story, and you want to compete with them. So, I mean, look, the five that come to mind, the first is to lead yourself. You know, a lot of people are trying to lead other people when they can't lead themselves. We often say, do as I say, not as I do. So I've just learned that you can't get someone else to run for you. You've got to do it yourself.
Okay.
And that takes leadership from you. And then the second component is obviously the self-discipline. You know, you
consistency, right? Because to run a marathon, I mean, so it's a marathon is 42Ks. The Comrades is over, it's almost 90Ks.
Almost 90, 89, yeah.
Both of those, either way, even the 21Ks, you cannot wake up on the morning and just go do it. Even if once upon a time you ran 20Ks, you can't just pitch up because last year you ran 20Ks.
You can't.
So it's about every day being consistent.
Yep.
And one day you start off, you're maybe running 1K.
Yep.
Couple of weeks you're running two, then three, then six, and the interest of it's almost like compound interest. By the time you're running five, you can run seven, you can run 10, you can run 15, you can run 20.
And the most important thing, like you say, Dimash, is to build it slow and maintain it. You know, life, I think if we get to a stage where we can maintain whatever it is that we build, I think we can do a whole lot more. We're so quick to attain certain things, but we don't learn in the process how to keep those things. So I've said to guys, forget about trying to lose, like I've already said, 15Ks in 2 weeks. Rather say, let me lose those 15Ks in a year and then maintain that because I now enjoy what I'm doing. And that's exactly what Victor's saying, that, you know what, in the morning, if you learn to meditate and to inspire yourself, keep that, because in comrades, in the marathons, there are ups. What do you do on those ups? What do you do when you come across ups in life? Do you turn back? There's no ways you can turn back in a marathon. So sometimes you just got to regroup. Take a refresher, take some water, relax, and walk if need be. In life, there are times where you need to just consolidate your life. You've come across these ups, take a break, consolidate. But we're such in a rush that at times when the ups come in our lives, you know, we burn ourselves out, we get cramps, and we panic. So, I mean, like I said, there's a lot of parallels between running and the motivation that Victor is speaking about.
Yeah.
The other thing is obviously teamwork. I just believe that we can achieve so much more by having a team spirit, as opposed to saying, I want to always. I mean, you look at comrades. There's 23,000 participants for next year.
Where, wow, there are 23,000
people. 23,000.
Well, willing to put their bodies through that hell.
Through that hell. And we all get medals, but the only guys that get prizes are the top 10. So we're talking some 21,000 odd people that get nothing but a medal. And on that day, the spirit is teamwork. The spirit is, you know, let me test myself. The spirit is authenticity.
Yeah.
Compete against yourself, you know, and those have a ripple effect in the way, we run our own lives.
Does it get easier though, running the comrades? Are you at a point now where you're like, whatever, man?
No. I think, you know, I'm trying to figure out. I'm at a stage where I'm trying to figure out what's worse. Not knowing what to expect or knowing that actually it's going to kick my butt.
That morning you're stressing, you're sweating. That night before,
you don't sleep,
You're nervous, eh?
The thing with even that, now that you mention it, you cannot sleep the night before. So I often say to people, in the week before, get sleep the 3 or 4 days prior. The night before, there is no sleeping, literally. You up at 1 because you're thinking, wake up late. And that's the thing about runners. We up at 3 on race days.
Yeah.
You get to a race at 4:30 or 5:30 and there's no parking. So, you know, yeah, khaki sambas. Yeah.
But actually, let's talking about that. You know, I heard Kabelo was telling me that on race day, he doesn't even eat solids because, I mean, it's 90 Ks, right?
Yeah.
It's like 6 hours on the road. What about toilet breaks? Where do you guys go? Let's just be frank. Let's just be like,
bush,
you know.
There's bush, there's the actual toilets that they've got on the sides.
Okay, so they've finally decided to
put toilets. But it's amazing. Those are always fully packed, eh? This is... At the start, in the races, those are always fully packed. And it's no, I'm not surprised. You know, we've got potatoes. You've got all this food that is available on race day. So
you can eat potatoes?
There's potatoes. There's everything. There's sweets. There's chocolates. So I often say to people,
What kind of, are they in chip form? Are they in roast potato form and foils? Or just
in
like,
foils.
Just get a potato.
You just get a potato chopped and just... With some salt, and you just eat on.
You're just eating and running.
Now imagine 90 Ks, you've got all the stuff coming into your body.
At some point, it's got to come out.
It's got to come out, you know. So the best way, again, is to try and have a look at your diet on the day. Have supplements that are like food, but not heavy.
Yeah, they're more like liquids, right?
More like liquids.
Do they test you, though, to see if you're taking any banned supplements?
Nah, I mean, like I say, it's only the first 10 people that will win a prize. The rest of us... But interestingly, there are people that cheat. So you'll find that I tell Tumisho Rapos, run the first half. And
we're not winning a prize, but we are cheating for what good reason? Why are we cheating?
For the medal, huh?
Well, you know...
The feeling that you can tell people I've run the comrade, even though you didn't run it.
Even though you didn't run it.
Oh, wow.
But now technology is such that... I mean, I was reading the other day an article that shows a number that I use as petting for the first half of the race. Before I know it, the pictures are showing the same number, but Dumisho's running. And then he completes. He's got like a medal under his belt, but yeah, he's cheated.
Wow.
Again, goes back to life. You know, we try cheat, and at the end of the day, the only thing is you cheating yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I saw people like Letsego Zulu, you know, Mrs. Gugu Zulu. I mean, halfway through she started cramping, and this is someone who's super fit, you know. She started literally crying. And her teammates actually, I think it was a group of about five ladies and a guy, and the guy just couldn't do it. Do you get that sensation where
actually,
you...
Actually, no, tell him about that first comrade that you ran and your knee was sore for the last 30Ks.
Yeah, look, the body shuts down, I'd say, at least once in the race, where you feel like, where was I going? It can happen at the 30 kilometer.
Why am I here? Devon, but I'm not at the end. I'm running with the other crazy
I'm
people.
I'm not even at the prominent.
I'm not even at the halfway. Nick, yeah, guy, you go through that. Literally.
How did you get yourself through that, Pet? I mean, you're a pretty fit guy, but there you are running the comrades. You've gotten to 60 Ks. You want to finish, and you are in a heck of a lot of pain. So you have a choice. Do I stop now and maybe not damage my body, or do I actually finish and turn around and say, I've done a good race?
Look, I mean, over training, over the many months of training, you'll kind of understand how your body reacts, and you'll know if it's an injury or it's something that you can kind of push. You know, the core comrade is the ultimate human race for a reason. The ultimate
is
human
that also
test.
Because at some point you're not running from your physical reserves, from your strength or anything. You're just running from a mental point of view. You're just, your mind is telling your
and
body we're going to get through this.
Must come in there. Okay. You know, from a mental perspective. Yeah. I mean, how do you guys deal with this? I know, Victor, you run for like 1 kilometer.
But the race of life.
But
the race of life.
Yeah. You know, from the running side, it's about the mindset up. Yeah. You know, like, you know, you need to set your mind that whenever you face a difficult or situation that is very hard, you know, you tell yourself that regardless of the situation, I'm going to push, you know. And if you don't have that in your daily life, in your training, whatever it's at work, you know, if you don't have that, that's the reason there's a saying that we recommend motivation every day. You know, it's like bathing. You don't only bath once a week and so forth, you know.
Yeah.
So also with that mindset, you know, having that positive mind, like, you know what, I'm going to run for 60 kilometers, you know, but I need to push myself. You know, if you don't push yourself, you're not going to go anywhere else, you know. So the positive mindset every day and becomes part of your program, part of your training, you know, as you train.
Yeah.
Not only train your physical body, train your mind to endure such a circumstances.
Mm. Yeah. I suppose life is about endurance, and there are going to be instances where things are happening that you didn't plan for, things are happening that are out of your control, that you cannot even fix, that you can't help. However, you have to keep going, and that's a mindset thing, isn't it?
Look, I mean, they say Comrades is 30% physical fitness, 30% the crowd, and 30%, well, let's say 33% mindset. And in those periods where you can actually do nothing, you've just got to say, look, I'm going to walk, regroup, and then the body kind of reboots. Sure. And then you start running again.
Sure.
And like I said, it happens twice or thrice sometimes in a marathon when you feel like, actually, I can't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the side, there are kumbis that are waiting for you to just say, I want to climb in.
They're like, come on, if you want to give up, if you want to give up, it's okay. Come on. And isn't that the same with life as well? I mean, anyway, you can cry on so many people's shoulders.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, for sure.
That business didn't go so well.
Yeah,
oh, it's okay. You know what? It wasn't for you. It's fine. That career that I planned didn't go so well. My studies didn't go so well. You know, the professor hated me because I'm black.
There's always someone waiting to just pick you up and be on some, oh, shame, come on. But then it hits you. I mean, I've seen too many faces where the guys are sitting in the kumbi and feeling like, gosh, why did I climb into the kumbi? You know, the guy's sticking his head
out. Once you're in the kumbi, you can't get out.
You can't get out.
It's done.
You're done. And those kumbis are not moving at a fast rate because it's packed. So there's a number of those kumbis. The guy is sitting there. He's got his head out. And on his face, you can literally see that this guy is thinking, why did I give up?
Yeah.
Because now my body is now feeling like, hey, man, I can do. But it's done. You're in the kumbi.
So you're disqualified in the kumbi.
No. Once you step into that kumbi, done.
You can't even sit
No. Done.
Select.
Wow.
And again, you know, I think sometimes we give up and then what's meant to be done, what you are meant to do in life, you've got to do. You know,
that's a great analogy because, like,
for sure,
you know, a lot of the times we do that where we give up, we sit in the kumbi for a bit, you know, and we've been disqualified from that particular race.
Yeah,
and then we look at our peers who we started with.
Yeah,
I mean, I was talking about Dean, for example, we meet a ball together, right? And then you see this guy, and you're like, I mean, it's not because I gave up on anything, but I think that can sometimes happen if you're not running a race where you think to yourself, me and this guy started at the same place, but look where he is now. I'm still in the same place, but I've given up and I've disqualified myself from being in the race.
And sure enough, I mean, it might not be a permanent disqualification. I mean, if you're sitting in that kumbi, you've got the following year to run comrades. But between then and the next year,
it's going
to
kill you.
Is another 10 months of training.
Just
you've got to get to the start. So in life, we do give up. And then we kind of let things, you know, go by the wayside. But then when you start again, you realize that that's what I was actually meant to do. There's so much more that needs to go in again for you to get to the same point where you're actually back on track doing what was actually in your heart, you know. So those are the analogies that, you know, I've learned from life that, again, there are times where, yes, you get injured. I just can't control. I can train as hard as I want to train. On the day, so many other things can happen. And if it means you've got to bail out, great. You've got the following year to do it. Yeah. In life, there are certain things we start. Mesh, we started Inspire Me to Health a couple of years back.
That's right.
You know, so it's been a long journey. And Inspire Me to Health was, again, just trying to inspire people. And we shelved it for a bit because we knew that maybe the timing was not right. And a lot of people look at temporary failure as permanent failure. Just stick to what you got to do. Run that race. Get fulfillment out of it in the process. I think that's the most important thing. On a day-to-day basis, enjoy it. Get fulfillment out of it. And you'll get to the finish line.
So all these things that you're talking about are on your website. Tell us that website address again.
It's www.runforwealth.com.
Is it four numeric four?
Run for Wealth, RUNFORE.
Okay.
Yeah, WEA.
You know, I must say, you know,
it's not WELTH.
Yeah.
Okay, you must say, uncle.
Sure, uncle.
Uncle Bees.
Sure, uncle. I'm a daddy. You're an uncle to my daughter.
But you are still that uncle. Many
say
uncles are daddies
now.
As well.
Maybe if he was to run,
Are you still on
shooting.
That tip? You are not even trying to run with me.
Wait. I don't need to run, buddy. I got no.
You know, you've heard of the term skinny fat, right? People like you are dying of heart attacks every day.
Listen, you know,
I don't want to bury you, BC.
Let's just ignore. Switch his mic off, please. I'm not
coming to your funeral if you've died of a heart attack because you're unfit.
Switch his mic off.
Okay, what were you gonna say?
Come talk.
What were you gonna say? You didn't have a stroke.
You know, you like.
I'll take your
stuff. You know, from knowing you back then.
Yeah.
Before running, and knowing you now, you even sound different. Like your outlook on life is just, it sounds clearer.
Yeah.
Can you attribute that to running?
running has played a huge part of it. But also, I mean, there's an element that perhaps we haven't touched on here, which is really the spiritual part. You need an identity before, like, running is a part of me, but it isn't really my identity.
Okay.
So I am Petseni beyond running. So what I feel is that the meditating part is an essential element of our lives.
Right.
Where you need to get to a stage where you just have a solid identity.
Right.
And everything else is just what you are meant to do is an addition, but not a defining factor.
Okay.
To your life. So I think that part of who I am in the mornings where I'm sitting and I'm not running, just thinking about who Petseni is, where I've come from, who's helped me to get thus far.
Right,
you know,
right,
because I think we go down a road where we just always want to pat ourselves on the back. But the reality is you can tire. You know, in running you tire. What happens when you're tired?
Yeah.
What are the factors? If I train hard and on race day I catch a flu, what then? So there's an element that I say, look, for me, get up and I pray to say, look, there's things I can't control. Just
now,
take
now,
care
on,
of
them. On that, as part of the health tips, you know, I heard, well, via Dumisha, that when you run, you know, it improves certain departments, you know, like yeah, blood flow.
Sexually, it's a plus.
No, you're able to stay up at night, you know, watching TV.
Okay.
You're not falling asleep at 11 at night.
Okay. Can I run in studio right now? Let me just put my jogging.
It's Friday, you see. I think you should go for a run.
I'm definitely going for a run. So is it true, though? Is it true that running improves your sexual...
That's actually a very interesting topic. I wouldn't know, Habis.
Well, Petseni has been celibate for
Pastor Ed Rivers won't shout at you. We know you're listening. Shout out to the Rivers pastors.
I wouldn't know, my brother. I think, you know, for me, it would be...
No, but just tell the truth, guys. Okay.
Hey, you know,
I mean, you can
shame the devil.
It can
you
be
know?
Anecdotal. You can say, from your experience, that you're having a lot more... what do you call those dreams that you have?
Those ones.
The wet dreams.
The wet dreams. You're having more of them than you used to.
Mesh, after you did your first 21K, did it improve?
I was an animal.
You were a pit bull. No, hey, Busi, I think I've gone from being a poodle to le braking, you know?
Yeah.
Shady
ankle. You're that dog at the scrap yard. That tough one.
Okay, we'll moving let's right along.
Victor, do you have a website perhaps that we can come to? Do you
besides
have
Dumisha's Instagram page,
social media,
like over your
Twitter?
I don't have a website yet, but working towards that. But now I'm on social media, Instagram, WhatsApp.
Yeah, what are your handles?
It's Chauke _ Victor, and that's in Twitter, and Victor Chauke.
Chauke _ Victor.
Yeah, and then at Facebook, it's Victor Chauke. Always look for black and white photos. So there's a lot of Victor Chauke.
Yeah, there must be. Because I think, like in Limpopo, they have a certain period for a certain name. I've got another friend who's Victor Modiba, and he's also from Limpopo. I find that you guys from the late 70s to the mid 80s, there's a lot of Victors there.
Chauke.
Before that, there was a lot of Tepos. There's not only one Victor Chauke.
Vic, but the one question I wanted to ask you was, how do you, you speak of meditation. Give us a couple that can work. I mean, I must say, I love the thought of meditation, but what are some of the practical, you know, stuff that you can do to meditate?
Oh, and before you answer that, is meditation, because some people believe that if you meditate, it's un-Christian. You know, a lot of people who are Christian think that meditation is some sort of atheist sort of thing that those guys do. It's not un-Christian, is it?
It is not. In fact, every religion can use that as kind of a tool to put you back together. Like, for an example, every day when I come back from work, you know, I tell my boy, you know what, but it's time just to take your space aside and go to the bathroom, light my candles, and I sit down there, you know.
My candle.
Yes, you know, with some salt there. You need to connect, you know, you need to feel yourself.
Light my candle.
you know, just to get that essence, aroma in that will open up your mind in into that space to shut down the day and ask yourself, what have you been doing from morning, you know, and to where you are now? What are the things, you know, you're reflecting back in order to put yourself together. And then from then, your mind is able to transist to another level, you know, depending on your tradition, to connect back with your nature or your God and everything, you know. Yeah. So that's the first meditation that I do in the afternoon. And then in the morning, I just sit down. You know, I love my garden. You know, there's kind of some breeze in the morning. I just go back outside, sit, getting the fresh air breeze, you know, connecting back to myself and ask myself, what is my purpose in life? What am I here for? It's about asking yourself question, centered on yourself, you know. And as you go, during the day, something that I do, fortunately at NetBank, we have a prayer room, you know. I go there and I close out myself and ask myself why I'm here first, you know. And shutting out all the negative energies that I can probably accumulated from talking to people or clients and everything, so then I can give my best in life, making sure that my interaction is very productive, you know. So with this aspect, you know, it's something that we recommend to everyone, whether you're a religious person or not, it's a tool that will help you to center yourself and focus on your goals.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
You remind me of that book, The Monk That Sold His Ferrari.
Yes. Yes.
Have you read that book?
Yeah,
Robin Sharma.
Robin Sharma.
Yeah,
Robin Sharma. Yeah. Well, we're actually very good friends, Robin. He sends me emails at least like twice or three times a week.
Can he send you like meditation? What thoughts on how to?
How to what? Monabisi.
Okay.
How
to? You know, when not kill eyes, me. Petenny's been doing that. I've been on leave today officially, so I thank you, Petenny.
For killing Mesh.
Mesh. Just representing.
You're not killing me.
You have been the reason why sometimes I think Monabisi is still where he is right now in the studio. Because I didn't want to get into black violence, and Morabisi just always wants us to
Petenny,
go there.
I'd like to say, you know, thank you for holding it down, you know, giving us more.
Yeah, thanks for being the disciplinarian here, because he gets out of hand. I can't control him anymore.
He can't be reasoned with. They blame me for Tumisho's mishaps, you know, and I don't know how that happens, but anyway, I think let's play the song. You know,
it's the weekend. We're out of here. It has been a wonderful time with all of you. Remember to go on to
www.runforwealth.com. Also on Facebook, you can come join us on our Facebook fan page, Run for Wealth.
And if
and
you're
on
DK,
Twitter.
Yep, and on Twitter. And if you're on DK, of course, Petenny is there. If you're on DK, it's okay because he's there. And of course, my friend Victor Chauke, Chauke_Victor, that's @ on Twitter. And of course, Victor Chauke on Facebook. Just look for the black and white pictures. We're out of here.
Yeah, Petenny, can you like go take Tumisho on a run?